A little warm, huh?
This week, it takes a little getting used to. And usually by the time you get used to it, it gets cold again.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're freezing to death. But it's 70 degrees. I'm so cold. I've been freezing. You put on a coat. Oh, golly. The ground's starting to get a little bit dry right now.
A little bit.
Yeah. All your new stuff, your shallow-rooted plants are going to be needing a little bit of moisture. So you want to make sure that they have that. And that doesn't mean you have to water every single day.
No.
No, you water, I water my plants twice a week. They do just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Even the new stuff.
Even the new stuff.
Except I did lose some begonias on the south side of the house. I had them planted around a hibiscus, and the poor thing looked like a box of cornflakes.
They're just that bad. Oh, man.
So I need to come up with something else. But anyway, they don't all make it, and, you just kind of roll with the punches and come up with something else. But
tis Oklahoma.
Yes, Oklahoma, yeah.
Tis Kansas, yep.
And this. Anyway, the secret, and this is an area that really has a sidewalk out here and a driveway over there and a house over here. It's on the south side. So it stays rather hot and dry, and those particular plants didn't make it. So out they go. I'm going to update my drip system, too, on that one to perhaps enhance a little more watering. if you haven't watered, do so slowly and for a long period of time, and water deep, so the water's deep into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
When we sell plants and when we install plants, I usually tell people to water in the morning. Don't wait till the afternoon or the evening, but you want to water in the morning before it's a chance to get really hot. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, why is that? I said, because the water in the hose gets really, really hot.
Yeah.
And some people, when they get a new tree or something, they just leave the hose out there and come home from work, turn it on.
You're pouring hot water on your plant.
And it cooks it. So you've had this plant in the ground for, 3 weeks or so, or a week or so, then all of a sudden it goes, dies. Uh-huh. That's probably the primary reason why the temperature of the water in a hose can get pretty close to hot.
Really hot, yeah.
Pretty close to hot. In other words, untouchable. And that causes the root system to die out rather quickly. So that's why we want to water in the morning primarily, is because some hoses are stored on the south side of the house. I was doing an irrigation system repair yesterday, and I needed to turn on the hose to rinse off some parts. And didn't have to wait for hot water.
No, you didn't. It was right there.
Oh, golly. Hey. It was hot.
Stuff was coming off already.
So anyway. And nonetheless, the irrigation repair was unsuccessful because the valve was 30 years old and it's just worn out.
Ooh.
It's a valve that I really don't like. And some company made them for a short period of time, and they just don't hold up too well. So a little bit of seepage. It still closes down, but there's some seepage. And I think it might be maybe for the velocity of the water. We're a small little valve. It's just about as big as a Christmas sugar cookie.
About that size, huh?
You try to get 20 gallons a minute through that, you know. It puts a lot of stress on. Parts wear out. Yeah. So I told the guy finally, I put it all back together, ran it, still got some seepage. I said, we're just going to have to replace the valve. It's probably got a crack in it somewhere. Okay. I said, just let it cool down a little bit. So he said, well, it's okay for now. A little leakage isn't too bad, I guess.
A little.
So anyway, it's kind of warm out there. And when we do water, we don't want to overdo it. We just want to let it dry out a little bit between waterings.
Yeah, let it do its thing, and you don't have to drown it.
Yeah. And also try to be conscious of the moisture level of the soil down below the mulch, if you have mulch.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have mulch, well, that's your own fault. Really, a good 2 to 3 inch layer of mulch does an awful lot to reduce the amount of watering you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an experiment with my tomatoes this year.
You did?
Uh-oh. Yes.
That'll work.
It's interesting. Well, some of the tomatoes were grown in pots.
Yes.
And they're on a drip system. Automatic drip system. Mm-hmm. Runs every morning at 7 o'clock. And they're doing just fine. I put some in the ground over by the shed. And it's got, you know, lots of light, good drainage and all that. And really prepared the soil real well, like we talk about in the fall. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that later on in the year. But anyway, and they're doing fine too. And I put a lot of mulch on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then when you dig in that mulch, even though it's not irrigated, the soil is moist down around the plants, and they're doing just great too. So I guess the thing that kind of expresses the importance of having mulch on the ground too, in that it does help conserve moisture.
So they're doing pretty well. You're going to have some good fruit there.
If it'll ever get cool enough for them to ripen, yes.
Some tomatoes. Oh, well.
Well, we've had two so far, and oh, they're so delicious.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Well, we do have some cooler days coming up. Looks like Tuesday we're only going to be at 84.
Hey, golly.
Yeah, so your really? Tomatoes have some
like
help
that.
On the way. 85 on Wednesday.
Even Monday, 89. That's some relief.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, it does.
So everybody's going to be wanting to plant chrysanthemums.
They are. They're
going to seem relatively cool. Uh-huh, hey, I can get some work done, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we've been working out in the heat.
Oh,
thinking, I was swinging a pick yesterday and a sledgehammer trying to get through some rock and running a big old one of those diamond saws.
Cutting wow.
Retaining wall blocks and stuff. That was it was really, really hot.
I bet it was.
So I'm having to take a little bit of a rest here this weekend.
Well, it's nice to have you all in one piece here.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on at the nursery. Okay. Anyway, as far as other things are concerned, watch your plants right now for mites. Mm-hmm. Watch your boxwoods, your dwarf Alberta spruce. If your dwarf Alberta spruce are planted on the east or the west side of the house, where you get some reflective heat from the sun, it's a good atmosphere for mites to manifest. So you want to watch them very carefully. The first sign is a slight bit of discoloration on sections of the plant. Perhaps they're closer to the house or on the sunny side of the plant. Typically a slight discoloration, a lack of dark green color. Mm-hmm. The dwarf Alberta spruce should really be dark green color. And then you look real closely at them and then spray accordingly. Mites are they're an arachnid, and they're difficult to control. Insecticides, most of the insecticides won't work on them. You have to use a different mechanism to control your spider mites. So we use pyrethrins, work very well, and Captain Jack's dead bug.
Captain Jack's dead bug.
That works pretty well.
That's a real stuff, folks. We had phone calls about this a couple weeks ago, and I just want to let folks, it's real stuff.
It's spinosad, is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And it's very effective. Mm-hmm. It's a synthesis between spinosad A and spinosad B or D, one of the two. And these are different culture variations on the bacteria that make the spinosad. It's kind of like yogurt.
Oh, well.
That's what I had for breakfast, Greek yogurt.
Yeah, got that fail, too, you know,
so
for later on.
It works very effectively against them, too, and it's basically harmless to humans and whatnot. So it works quite well. So anyway, you want to do that. You might want to even add a surfactant to it a little bit. The water tends to be a little bouncy when it gets kind of hot and dry, so the surfactant helps it stick. And thirdly, you want to pick the proper time of day to apply insecticides. A lot of them that do have surfactants tend to seal the plant up a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And when it gets hot, it can cause some problems.
Oh boy.
So you want it to dry, the insecticide to dry in a situation where it's not overly hot, so the plant doesn't have a tendency to overheat. So morning or afternoon is fine.
On that, for that application? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Good. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, mites are a bit of a problem. Bagworms are a problem too. It's almost getting too late to do anything about the bagworms because they've grown and they've matured a little bit at this point, and they're starting to stop their growth process.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't stopped them yet, well, you're almost too late. However, because of the variation in the weather we've had, I've seen some succeeding generations. In other words, typically the weather does this, and it changes, and they all pupate at the same time. But this is happening a little differently. We had a really nice spring, good weather, and then a brick wall.
Oh, smash!
Yeah, and that's a rather sudden change, and then we've had some variations in the weather, a little bit cool spell here and there. So it's caused some subsequent generations of the bagworms to mature. Mm-hmm. So you can still get some control if the bagworms are relatively small. Mm-hmm. And they like to attack members of the juniper family, for instance, and spruce. Those plants that typically have a lot of turpentine running through them, they'll attack. They will also attack Japanese maples.
They will.
Yes. Mm. And another thing they like is the cedar siding on your house.
Now that's crossing a line.
Well, I've seen it.
I know.
You got a whole string of them all.
My goodness sakes.
What are you decorating for Christmas?
Oh, my.
They look like Christmas lights. But
that sounds like it's getting personal now.
When that happens is that they're crawling up your junipers or whatever along the house.
Yeah.
And they run out of food, and they're looking for more. They're not necessarily eating the house. They're searching for more food like that. And then I guess they just give up. Hey, it's time for me to change. Oh, I got to change.
Oh, my.
So they stop.
Yeah.
And you get these little dangle things on your house. So anyway, just pull them off and throw them out.
Okay, there you go.
So anyway, bagworms were at the mature stage. You could use the Bacillus thuringiensis if they're small. Mm-hmm. BT works rather well. The spinosad also works very well to control them. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty effective in that, too. So anyway, use those things to control your bagworms.
Your bagworms.
After the break, we'll get into tent caterpillars.
That sounds great.
Oh, no.
And we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program right here after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. I want you to know we have any rental need that you could possibly have at a competitive rate with excellent service. So if you have a project coming up on the weekend that you need a boom for, you need a water pump, a trencher, a mini excavator, we can take care of you. You pay a one-day price, you keep it the entire weekend, you're not in a rush, it's a great deal. Come see us, give us a chance to take care of you. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants, too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road.
Today is the final day of the Total Furniture Liquidation Sale happening at 2119 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. Prices slashed 50 to 75% off. No reasonable offer will be refused. It all must go today. Shop 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Love seats start at $297. Queen mattress sets start at $244. Patent headboards are just $98. Save hundreds on Serta adjustable mattresses. Make us an offer and save big. Just look for the total liquidation signs or visit landlordliquidators.com.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Oh, good morning, and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. It is 8:23.
Let's make one thing perfectly clear.
Perfectly clear.
Yeah, really. Bagworms are the ones that hang on, the little triangular ones that hang on the thing, because they form a little bag.
Yeah, we were talking about bagworms before the break coming for your house.
Exactly. And some people think the tent caterpillars are bagworms because they look kind of like a big bag hanging in the tree.
But those are the tent worms.
Tent caterpillars.
Yeah, tent caterpillars.
We need to get the correct nomenclature on these insects.
I got that mixed up last year about this time.
Oh, yeah. Prior to making a recommendation on how to control it, we need to make it clear as to what the particular insect is. We got a caller?
I believe so. Hi, good morning. You're on the air with Larry. Hello? Got you there? Okay, it looks like we're having a little problem with the telephone there.
Come on, George Jetson.
we'll get it here. Oh, somebody picked it up in the other room. All right, go ahead.
Well, he can answer the question.
Sure. No. They were just making sure it was.
Both of these insects are insects in their larval stage,
mm-hmm.
and both of the insecticides will work against them. However, with the tent caterpillars, mm-hmm. you could very easily get away with just using soapy water.
There you go.
Primarily because once you get through that net of webbing,
mm-hmm.
you can directly contact the insect. So I like to use a hose end sprayer with simply some dish soap in it.
Wow.
Now,
that works out.
A few years back, we had a big bad outbreak of tent mm-hmm. caterpillars on some of our trees at the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a hose end sprayer and put some soapy water, some soap in it, and just ran up and down the line, and they just dropped like flies.
Oh,
after,
boy.
After you did that. So it is effective. And the soapy water works rather well when they're really very actively growing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the other ones, once they've matured and all that, there's not much metabolism in, and they're changing into little moths or whatever they change into. And then it becomes less effective. So when their metabolic rate is high, which is right now, you can use a soapy spray. We have a caller?
I believe so. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning. Try this again.
Good morning.
Oh, there we are. Good show. Yes.
Your question
can you
or comment?
Now?
Yeah, yes. We sure can.
My question, it concerns bamboo.
Oh, bamboo, yes.
I would like to know if there's a good herbicide to get rid of it. It's pretty tough, and a lot of herbicides doesn't affect it. I'm wondering if you have some suggestions on that. I've got some in a bad place. I want to get rid of it.
I had a situation in my house where I had to replace my fence, and the bamboo was in the way. So I cut it down, and within 15 seconds of cutting it down, I used Triclopyr. Triclopyr.
T-R-I what?
C-L-O-P-Y. We have it at the nursery. It's called brush killer. But anyway, the ingredient is a Triclopyr. It comes with a little eyedropper thing. And immediately after cutting it, you've got just like a half a minute for it to work. You just eyedropper that onto the stump.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And then it works. It works kind of like Roundup in that it goes through the plant itself. Now, you can't get control by doing just one. You have to really kind of cut out the whole colony.
Yeah, I know, because it's one huge clump of roots.
Oh,
I'm pretty familiar with it, but I didn't know if there was anything herbicide effective that will kill it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one. That's another way is physical removal. And I know with the ground situation like it is, that's virtually impossible. You just about need a track hoe to dig it out. But if there's any fragments in the ground, it will work on it.
It'll grow.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, that worked. Okay. I had the bamboo growing underneath the shed and coming out between the house and the shed and all that, and it took care of it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give it a try. Hey, thanks.
All right.
Hey,
thank you for calling.
Appreciate it. All right. Very good. And you can be the next caller up at 1-800-749-5936, and we'll just go right now. Hi. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry.
Yeah. Larry?
Yeah.
Speaking of pests.
Pests. Yeah.
They're multiplying. I have a situation on tomato plants that we've never noticed before.
Yes.
Outside of aphids and mites and blight and everything else. We noticed the foliage being devoured by a black beetle-looking antennaed pest that's about three-quarters of an inch long.
Yes.
Black as coal. And they are really devastating the leaves and whatnot on the tomato plants, and I never run across that particular pest before on tomato plant.
Sounds like a weevil of some kind.
A weevil?
Uh-huh.
Okay. My wife has been picking them off. I think she's picked off about 15 or 16 overnight, or yesterday and this morning.
Right.
But is there something we can spray?
Seven would be my thing of choice at first.
Okay, seven dust.
Right, it has some residual action on it, and as a critter eats the leaf, he unknowingly eats the seven. And that'll
very good.
Be one way to. And the secret to the word of choice is control.
Okay.
You're not going to get all of them, but you're going to get a whole bunch of them.
Okay, very good.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Bert.
Thank you very much. And, boy, I tell you what, we've got active phone lines today. And if you want to be a part of the program today here on the Green Country Gardener, if you got a question for Larry, it is 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with more right here on the Green Country Gardener program after this two-minute timeout.
If you are a certified mechanic in need of a job working for a top local company, apply immediately to Romans Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Romans is looking for a full-time ASE GM certified mechanic to work in their service department. Romans is a busy, fast-paced place to work with a positive environment. If this sounds appealing to you and you have the right qualifications, stop by and see Brian Ballard any weekday from 9 to 5 at Romans Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence.
Instant savings and brand new merchandise and gift certificates. I'm T.W. Davis, auctioneer, and I want you to mark your calendars for the annual K1, KYFM, K-Rig, KPGM auction.
We are shopping at local advertisers, buying brand new merchandise and gift certificates.
Then I'll auction them off to you. Guaranteed savings. They've told me the bidding stops at 80%.
However, many items won't even get to the full 80%. You may pay 40, 50, or 60% of retail. It's an auction. You set the prices. You get the bargains. Some of the items up for sale include
furniture from Saxon's Fine Furnishing, Rejuvenation Med Spa gift certificates by Hill Dermatology, golf and cart certificates from Hillcrest Golf Course in Coffeyville, and food certificates to the Hilton Garden Inn in Bartlesville.
There'll be free prizes too. Don't miss it. The Bartlesville Radio's annual auction this morning at the Washington County Fairgrounds in Dewey. Doors open at 8. Auction begins at 9. This year's auction will be compliant with CDC regulations with social distancing. Peter's True Value in Dewey is your one-stop shop for just about anything and everything you could want or need. Peter's True Value can help you select the right products for the right job. They offer a big selection of quality products, along with some great advice. So be sure to check out every aisle for hot deals, seasonal favorites, and home basics. That's Peter's True Value in Dewey.
All right, good morning. It is 8:32. We are at 79 degrees right here in Kansas and Oklahoma. I guess it's Kansahoma. I guess, no, maybe it's not. But it is the Green Country Gardener program with Larry Glass. And Larry, where did we leave off here? We had a lot of callers and a lot of information to get out.
Yeah, people are having trouble with bugs.
Bugs.
So, as can be expected, when it when the time gets tough, they get going.
The bugs do,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of a battle you have to. To fight, and there are some safe things you can use to fight them too, so you don't have to apply all these poisons everywhere.
Let's go to the phones here real quick. Hi, good morning. You're on the program. Your comment or question for Larry?
Hi.
Hello.
I have some cannas, and I'm wanting to know: am I supposed to deadhead on cannas or not?
You can. Yeah. It. It helps them out a little bit if you do get it appearance-wise, for one thing. But, yeah, it's a good idea to do that.
So I just cut the whole top off where the bloom was?
Well, you want to look along the stem and be sure if there's a node or something on there, it'll continue growing up. A lot of times the flowers are kind of an offshoot, so you want to be very careful not to try to cut the apical mirror stem off of it. But, yeah, you can cut those off. After they're done blooming, you can cut them off.
And then how far into the season do they keep blooming? I can't remember.
They should bloom almost in perpetuity through the season as they send up more shoots.
Pardon?
So once that stalk has bloomed, chances are it won't bloom again.
Oh, okay.
So just
after that. Then I have one more question. The iris this year put out some kind of pod after the bloom.
Right.
What is that?
That's a seed pod.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know they made seed.
Oh, yes. And those if they're still on the plant, the chances are the seeds are viable. Then you can pick out a place in the garden where you can plant them in a straight row. And then
So should I just plant the whole pod, or should I open up
you'll want to open it up and separate the seeds.
Okay.
And then, and then plant them, like I said, in a straight row, because sometimes it's difficult to distinguish between a newly emerging iris and, say, a grassy weed or something. So if you put them in a row, you'll know that you've got those.
Okay.
What's coming up. And then after a couple years or so, you'll come up with who knows what kind of color variation.
Okay.
All right.
So it takes that long for them to mature to make a flower then?
Exactly. Yeah, it takes them a couple, 3 years sometimes for them to really produce it. A flower takes a lot of energy to do that, and they need a lot of resources to support. Now, also structurally, it has to support that big, heavy flower, so it takes a while for it to produce a bloom.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
All right, and you can be the next one up if you so desire. And our phone line is 1-800-749-5936.
That's how we get variations in the blooming industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's, okay, this thing bloomed. Let's plant a whole row of seeds and see what happens. It takes 3 years. Oh, that's a good one. And then when they get one, they're cloned.
I see.
So the genetics are similar. So you put this picture in a catalog, you have this purple and yellow iris. You don't, and then you get it, so it's not pink. So,
so basically what you're saying is, through cloning, the one you see in the catalog is pretty much the one you're going to get and take
it'll
home.
Pretty close to that.
Yeah.
Except one time we purchased some stuff in the catalog, and it was totally different. It's pretty anyway.
Go ahead, take it home.
Sure, it's all right. Yeah, but anyway. Going on at the nursery, container and bald and burlap trees can be planted just about any time. You don't want to move them. There are some exceptions to the rule. This is prime time to divide your iris. I have some I have to divide, but it's too hot when I get home, and I'm too tired during the weekend, so they don't get divided.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to get those round to it.
Now, look like the weather's going to be nice this week. So
yeah, you're going to get
a high of 84 on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, and maybe a little bit of rain, so guess what? My iris are going to get divided.
No,
not today when it's 103 degrees or something.
You heard a long division. If you do it today, it's hot division.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, it's time for that to happen, and they're getting a little crowded, and they're not blooming as well.
No.
When they get kind of crowded, the blooms are not as heavy. Mm-hmm. They're all competing for resources, so they have to be split up. Anyway, it's time to divide those iris, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
At the nursery, also the hostas are showing some leaves and color, but we're kind of run out of. We've sold a lot of hostas. We're about out of them. There's very few left, anyway. And the endless summer hydrangeas are in full bloom right now. We have some parallels to the endless summer hydrangeas. Mm-hmm. And interesting about the hydrangeas is they don't like it hot. And they really put on a pretty nice show this spring. They're really very attractive until the rain stopped. And you look at the name of the hydrangea, HYD, and that usually means water. And they're very water consuming plants.
They're wet.
You know, the ones that turn to the pink and the blue ones, the endless summers and all that, they do need a lot of water. So you want to do a very large preparation. I've seen some people plant them in the clay, and sometimes they do okay. I go, wow, miracles, you know.
Not recommended.
Not recommended. But they don't compete well with other plants.
Yeah.
Things like hackberry trees and silver maples, your shallow-rooted trees. You do this really nice preparation for this hydrangea, and it does real well for a year or two, then all of a sudden it just doesn't do well. And then you dig it up, and it's just a big mat of roots from competing trees.
Oh, boy.
So that can cause a real problem with the appearance on your hydrangeas. So you have to kind of look at the environment in which they're being planted as well, and try to avoid being, within the drip line, even beyond the drip line of these particular species.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any hydrangeas in the front of my house because I have these maple trees, which I didn't plant, but nonetheless.
They were there.
They're there, so whatever. So I deal with it. And so you want to be careful not to plant some things that can't successfully compete with the surrounding plants.
Got it.
Now, there are some other hydrangeas. The oak leaf hydrangeas are a bit more tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And the bobo hydrangeas are more tolerant of these conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give up on the species altogether.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've had good luck with most people's oak leaf hydrangeas. And they're coming out of full bloom right now. They put on a really big show with all the moisture we had. Now they're slowing down a little bit. So anyway, some of the hydrangeas, the encore azaleas are beginning to show some bud swell, and we planted some for somebody, and they're actually opening up. The encore azaleas and the parallels, the bloomathons, will bloom in response to a change in the environment. Now, typically, taking them out of the pot and putting them in the ground is a change, and they are starting to bloom. And they're pretty excited about having azaleas in July. So that's kind of a switch of things. So they will change their blooming time depending on the weather.
Very good.
So anyway, the coneflowers, we sold a lot of coneflowers. We have just a few left. They're showing some color too. Hardy hibiscus, we do have a good lot of those still left. And we'll get into hardy hibiscus a little bit later in the show maybe.
All right.
But they're growing fairly aggressively at this point. They're starting to bloom. So.
Putting on a good one right now.
Exactly.
Right now it's 8:40. We're 20 minutes away from the top of the hour. It's 79 degrees, and we're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardening Program after this two-minute timeout.
It's no wonder Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. They have new inventory arriving weekly, including new shipments of hibiscus, shrubs, annuals, perennials, houseplants, and tropical plants too. Every Wednesday at Green Thumb is discount day. Save on all regular priced items. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday. Still offering curbside, pickup, and delivery service. Just call ahead. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nawata Road.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband Mark was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
Radio goes on. Bartlesville Amateur Radio Club, one of the original physical distancing endeavors, meets every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on the club repeater 146.655. PL tone of 88.5 is required. You don't have to be a member of the club to participate. All licensed hams are welcome. This radio reminder brought to you by Davis Family Funeral Home and Crematory, Walker Brown and Dewey Chapels. A radio reminder.
All right, I'll be back.
Summer weather.
Put on this mask.
Like your mask. Ugh. Sticky.
Oh, it's so hot.
Steamy. Hard to breathe in.
Woo, that stinks.
We're flirting with 100 by this.
We unmask and spread the forecast for you every hour.
It's our best chance to see some rain.
So breathe easy. And take an occasional breath mint.
That's my breath?
With K1. The one you trust.
There we go. It's 8:42, and it's the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Phone lines are open somewhat at 1-800-749-5936 for your questions. And what do we have last on next on our punch list here?
We were going to discuss hardy hibiscus before the break.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we got a caller.
Yes, we do. Hi, and good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks. I have a really pretty pink coneflower.
Oh, yes.
And I put it in a pot, and it survived the winter. And with all the rain, it's been huge. Anyway, of course, the flower eventually dies and gets really dull, and I have to cut them off. But, of course, the branches are really long. Can I use the seed pods to get more?
Oh, definitely. They reseed themselves very well. I know that from personal experience.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yes, yes.
So what do I do? Is there a certain time or?
Not what? Really. You roughen up the ground and just kind of sprinkle them on the ground and cover them up. Right now they're at the point where they're at their bloom stage. It's kind of past prime, and they will be distributing seeds naturally. So the chances are
I've had to cut off the old ones because they look terrible, for one thing.
Yeah.
But do I just cut down just part of a small amount of it off, or do I take the whole branch?
You can get to rather stern with coneflowers after they bloom, and we're going to have a cool spell this week, and they might come back and do some more blooming.
Oh, they have.
Yes.
Yeah, they have. They continue to bloom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, yeah, don't be afraid to cut them back. So,
okay. All right, well, I've had the blooms before, and I've just let them lay on the ground, and nothing happens. So
yeah.
I have to cover them up, huh?
Well, yeah, you'd take the seeds off of the cone head, if you will.
Yeah.
and scatter them around, and you'll have some recurrence.
Okay.
It's kind of hard. Sometimes it's hard to tell the newly emerging coneflower plants from weeds, really, too. So.
Oh, okay.
That when they come up, they have a rounded leaf with an entire margin. In other words, no cuts or anything on it,
mm-hmm.
And the veins on the leaf are kind of surrounded in a circular motion, if you will. And that'll help. If you study the veins on the leaves when they come up, that'll kind of tell you what species it is.
Okay. All righty, great. All right,
good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
And we've got a line open for you, if you'd like, at 1-800-749-5936.
Anyway, hardy hibiscus, the rose mallow, otherwise known as
okay.
hardy hibiscus,
yeah.
has the largest flowers of any hardy perennial.
Hmm.
Ooh. That's kind of boastful, isn't it?
I did not know
anyway,
that.
Anyway, yes. Yeah. Some of the hybrids may be up to 1 foot in diameter.
That's a pretty big flower.
Yeah, usually when they bloom, we have a hailstorm.
No. That's right.
Yeah, really.
Between those and peonies. Yeah.
Anyway, for them to really do that, they like rich, moist soil and
uh-huh.
full sun as much as possible.
Yeah.
But they are very accommodating. They will tolerate light shade and less desirable soils, too, but you don't get as big a bloom on them. And the colors range from crimson, white, to pink, to rose, and somewhere in between. Typically, they're neutral to cool colors. They really haven't developed a warm color yet. I expect if they were to cross it with a cotton, perhaps they will get some yellow into it. But typically, they're cooler color, raspberry red, lemon yellow, and orange. No.
Well, they sound just downright lucky charming, don't they?
Yeah, raspberry red, and you'll have some cool color pinks on them, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, they put it on, and some of them grow rather tall. This is a plant you have to give it a little bit of room and put them in the back of the landscape somewhere and preface them with something that maybe blooms at the same time or perhaps all the time. They started a little bit late blooming this year because of the moist, cool weather. And right now, they're putting on a really, really big show, and we're selling them a lot of them, too. So we only have a limited supply, so hurry on up, get some if you want some. But keep in mind they do need a whole lot of room for them to grow.
Very good.
So they're good plants. And some of them bloom only for a specific period of time. We're trying to carry the ones that bloom perpetually in the summer
mm-hmm.
and all the way until the frost. So go ahead and show some blooms on them too. But anyway, they're native to the marshy areas of North America. And sometimes they go by the common name rose mallow. So anyway. You can recognize them as close relatives of the rose of Sharon shrub,
mm-hmm.
Which is Hibiscus syriacus. Rose of Sharon's another one that's in bloom right now. And they are in the Malvaceae family, which includes hollyhocks and actually cotton and okra.
Mm-hmm.
Okra is kind of related to them, too. So that's probably why they do well here. Okra. I can't grow anything but nice okra.
Yeah, got a bumper crop this year.
So they're very easy to grow, and mm-hmm. they get to be a bigger clump over years, and they're really quite showy. So you might consider, if you have a lot of room in the back of the garden somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you might consider a hardy hibiscus.
A hardy hibiscus.
Now, they come up a little bit late in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think they call it, that's not coming up. What's the matter with this thing? It's just nothing. It died, whatever. And I said, just wait.
Be patient.
They're very reliable perennials. They come up really without having to coax them along. They're kind of like weeds, or almost like pokeweed, which we got a photo caller in for a pokeweed.
Yeah.
Know what that is.
Yeah.
Don't eat any of it because they are kind of toxic. toxic. So
very.
And the only way to get rid of those is to dig them up. So
all right.
So anyway, that's one plant to consider in the landscape because it is fairly showy. Mm-hmm. And another plant we wanted to talk about today was salvia. Salvia is a plant that is a tender tropical, considered a perennial in tropical climates.
Okay.
But here, because it gets kind of cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe it'll get cold this heat, you know. I mean, you think the street would keep it warm enough.
Yeah, you know, but
it'll never get cool enough for ice to form on the road.
Doggone it, I spent my first winter in Oklahoma and it snowed.
Yeah, really. But anyway, it's a tropical perennial that typically grown as a warm weather annual, and it's been a long time a garden standard. It blooms very reliably over a fairly extended period of time. Mm-hmm. And these are one of the few annuals we can get that has blue flowers that'll tolerate the heat. So they're kind of cool. One characteristic of members of the salvia family, that they carry, you get different leaves, different flower shapes and all that, is the stem. Mm-hmm. The stem is square in form.
That's unusual.
It has a 90-degree angle, and the stem is it's just typically square. Mm-hmm. And a mint is the same thing.
Oh, really?
So the salvia is kind of a member of the mint family.
Okay.
And they all share that same characteristic. So if you really don't know what it is, look at the stem. And if it's a square stem, you probably have either a mint or a salvia of some kind. Mm-hmm. And that'll kind of tell you, hey, this is a cool plant.
There you go.
So anyway, they like average soil, or you can maybe amend it a little bit with some fertilizer and some compost or something. And it does help it along to put on a bigger show. And if it has a fairly good soil where the roots can really exploit the soil, they do that much better.
Good.
As far as the flower show is concerned. So, okay. So, anyway, we'll get back to the salvia here in just a minute.
All right.
After an end.
We've got more here in just a few. And right now it is 8:51. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
In the early 1900s, the world was changing, and the United States was taking its place as the premier industrial and political power in the world. The newest frontier was not the Wild West as much as it was industry and technology. The world was changing around Bartlesville and in Osage County as well during this time. Frank Phillips and his brother L.E. were growing tired of the boom and bust of the oil business, and were in the process of selling off their oil leases and making plans to expand their banking business and making Kansas City their headquarters. The Phillips brothers owned lease 185 in Osage County, and by the terms of the lease, if they didn't drill it, they lost it. Well, it wasn't Frank Phillips' nature to walk away from an investment with at least trying, so rather than lose it, they decided to drill for oil, and they drilled 6 dry holes on that lease. And then finally, on their 7th try, they hit oil at around 100 barrels a day. Encouraged, they drilled one more just to the west, and on March 22, 1917, Frank Phillips stood on the drilling platform when the earth and all around him began to tremble. The well exploded with a gusher of over 1,000 barrels a day. It has been said that that well was the beginning of Phillips Petroleum Company, and therefore the history and legacy of Frank Phillips. Thanks to that well, we still have Willow Rock to remember the West, the oil, and the history of Frank and Jane Phillips. Come visit the past and capture the magic of Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
The voice of Bartlesville, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Good morning. It is 8:53, 7 minutes away from 9, and we are at 79 degrees, and it's time to get back to our program, which is the Green Country Gardener. And
anyway,
salvia, what you got?
Salvia splendens is native to Brazil.
It's, yes, it is.
Widely cultivated as a summer or warm weather annual. You plant it in average or enriched soil, fertilize as needed. That's debatable sometimes. Anyway, it needs some fertilizer occasionally.
Yeah.
And over a long season, flowers will drop, leaving you kind of a ragged spike. They just cut it off, and then the new one will come out later on. They keep regenerating. So they do have a bit of an issue with appearance, with the flower. Spikes on there. Yeah, so kind of the same thing with the sun coleus. Coleus also has a square stem.
Square.
You got to cross that with a pine tree. You know, the lumber's already cut then.
There you go.
but anyway, the sun coleus has a flower spike similar to the salvia, and mm-hmm. it should be cut off too. And we're coming up with some new varieties that don't have the flower spikes, so you don't have to do that.
There you
go. I tried some in the backyard in pots, and they're doing rather well.
Cool.
So anyway, full sun to partial shade, especially in the afternoon, reduces stress. Moisture average to slightly dry, well-drained soil. I let mine get a little bit, the surface of the pot get dry before they're watered, and they do just fine.
Okay.
They don't really like wet situations really well. And one thing I did on these coleus plants, which are related to salvia, is when I cut them off, they got a little too big, I cut them back, I just stuck it in a ground area that tends to get moist,
mm-hmm.
and they root very quickly. So it needs some constant moisture, though. So mm-hmm. it won't work. If you put it in dry dirt, it won't really. You have to have some moisture in there. And they kind of sit on the ground. They look like an old dish rag for a while. Then they send out some roots, and it just kind of comes up and makes a whole new plant. So they're really easy to propagate because of that. So that's the salvia plant,
okay.
or the mint plant, kind of parallel thing in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very easy to grow, very few pests and everything else. Probably the biggest pest is a hailstorm. Then I like to associate these with especially the sun coleus,
mm-hmm.
or the salvia plants with things like the I hate that, I can't think of that right now. Yes, but there are other plants they associate with very well. Yeah, the sweet potato vine. Yes.
There you go.
The yellow with mm-hmm. the red flowers and things makes a really good combination. And like I said earlier, that's one of the few blue blooming plants that will give you some color
mm-hmm.
Throughout the summer.
Good.
So anyway, probably one of the most popular salvia plants is a red hot Sally. It has these red spikes on it, really nice, and we usually sell out of those real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So in April, you need to make sure to get in there and get it real quick. But they do need some soil prep. They don't work well in the clay.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people where the salvia just sits there and defoliates, and you dig it up, and it's just it's this sticky mass. They don't like that. They like well-drained soil.
Good.
So prepare that soil. Make sure it drains real well.
Work that dirt.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a good plant to have. I really like them. They're mm-hmm. easy to grow, very few pests, and they make quite a show in the landscape all summer long. Mm-hmm. And the salvia plant is a member of the mint family, and your sun coleus, your other coleus, and all that. Any plant with a square stem on it has that.
Very good.
Grows some characteristics.
Got a quick call here. Let's see if we can put them in. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on the air.
Hey, yes, sir. Do you got that cat's number for that sells washers and dryers?
Well, we'll be into right our trade. We'll be into our consumer calls here in a little bit. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I didn't know a cat had a cell phone.
Yeah.
So anyway, come by the nursery. Check out the stuff we got.
Yeah.
We have a great selection of wind chimes still.
Mm-hmm.
We're clanging in the wind, and we've been selling quite a few of those. A lot of hot air around, I guess. But anyway, come out and check out our selection of house plants.
Very good.
They've been well cared for in the greenhouse. I know I keep the cooling system going. Yeah. Had a relay pop on me last week. That was
fun.
Wow. Yeah. But just put a new one in. Good as new.
Good as new.
So we got to keep that equipment up.
And, of course, the greenhouse is right out there on No Water
Road. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right halfway between Madison and Washington Boulevard on the south side of the road is our nursery. So come check it out. We've been there for 30-some years.
That's a pretty good start.
For quite a long time. And even through this pandemic, we've had a lot of visitors come in and buy some stuff.
I remember you were telling me, you said, it's amazing. Everybody's kind of stay at home, but they're going to your place.
It's something they can come out. Yeah. All the doors are open. We have fresh air coming through all the time.
Yeah,
It's not enclosed. You're not in an enclosed area. All the doors are open, and the greenhouse fans, they keep the air circulated real well. So there's really
one of the safest places to be.
Exactly, and most of our stuff sold outside. Yeah. We have everything, you know, from boulders to paving blocks and things like that to sell too. So every little project you might want to do, you might check out our selection of hard goods out in the landscape too. Mm-hmm. And we do irrigation and retaining walls, full service landscape too as well.
In fact, you can get a little preview on your little computer thing there, right, what your house is going to look like.
In the landscape department, we are so busy right now. We can't keep up with the demand. It's just kept us very busy. You want to make sure to keep that shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Larry. We got news coming up next. Stay tuned, and we'll catch you a little later on.
Mm-hmm. American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227C.